Everyone wastes a little money here and there. It's pretty hard not to. The trick is to not waste a lot of money. Hi, I'm Rob West. Forget to cancel a subscription or fail to get gas where it's cheaper and you're out a few bucks. But don't pay attention to some big money wasters and your finances can really take a hit. I'll talk about them today and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, today I'm going to tell you some ways you can waste a lot of money. Of course, the idea is that if you know about them, you won't do them. The Wall Street Journal did a survey of several personal finance experts, authors, and even a Nobel Prize-winning economist to find out what they considered big money wasters. The first one they named is something they called compensatory purchases. That's a fancy name for keeping up with the Joneses, and it's anything you spend money on to make other people think you're successful. But in reality, you're doing it because you don't feel successful. Compensatory purchases would include luxury goods and high-end clothing with visible logos to indicate you have money and status. But the experts pointed out that these can include small-ticket items purchased over and over, like designer coffee. Another big-ticket money waster, perhaps the biggest, is buying too much house. One of the experts explained that people's thinking about big houses hasn't caught up with technology that enables us to live comfortably with less space. Take large, elaborate kitchens, for example. Readily available prepared foods have made them obsolete. But what the experts didn't say is that prepackaged food items can also be a money waster. Another example of buying too much house is having a rarely used room, an extra bedroom that sits empty most of the time, or the workshop in the basement gathering dust, or space for bookshelves when we have e-books that take up no space at all, although maybe it's not as much fun to curl up with a Kindle. For one expert, a big money waster was buying a new car, at least for many people, and especially if you're just trying to impress someone. You'll have to work 2 to 3 months just to make the payments and insurance. A better option for many people is a dependable late model vehicle with low mileage. If you simply must have that new car smell, you can buy it in a can and make any car smell brand new for around 10 bucks. But we always point out that buying a new car is fine if you can afford it and plan to keep it for many years. It's especially fine if you buy it with cash. And as we like to say, if no one bought new cars, we soon wouldn't have any cars at all. Of course, with today's high interest rates and sky-high car prices, it's more important than ever to buy a car for practical reasons like affordable, dependable transportation. Okay, the next money waster is a touchy one for many parents. It's spending money on adult children for things they should be paying for, like keeping them on your car insurance or cell phone plan. If you no longer need a family plan and an individual one is cheaper, well, you're just wasting money. The experts also mentioned overscheduling younger children with too many expensive activities. Better to have the kids focus on one or maybe two things they really enjoy, because the cost of extracurricular activities and transportation to them continues to rise. Some of you may be old enough to remember playing sandlot baseball or football with the neighborhood kids when you were young. And while that sort of thing still happens, for the most part, we live in an age of organized sporting activities, a lot of them, so choose carefully. And speaking of physical stuff, you want to avoid getting a gym membership unless you're absolutely sure you'll use it. Otherwise, it's just another money waster. Having an unused gym membership has been described as the failure to recognize future laziness. Another money waster, unplanned trips to the grocery store. That's when you go in thinking you just need to grab one item and you end up spending $100, which these days fits in 2 or 3 bags. Also mentioned were prepackaged sugary snacks that could easily be replaced with something less expensive like an apple, better for your wallet, and your waistline will thank you. So there you have them, ways the experts say you can waste a lot of money. money if you're not careful, but we know you will be. Folks, as we think about our role as stewards or managers of God's resources, we want to be wise in how we handle God's money, living within God's provision, holding it loosely, giving generously, and I would say living simply. And when we do that, I believe we can experience God's best in this area of finance. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
On American Family Radio, hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a layman here to remind you that faith sharing is a barometer for your spiritual health. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you heard a message sending you out to share your faith? Do you get my drift? Most Christians have never heard a sending message. Is it any wonder that less than 1% of us are actually sharing our faith? It's a fact. Over 80% of the unchurched would like to believe in a God who can get us out of this mess. The fields are white for harvest. I mean, they really are. But Romans 10:14 asks these questions. How can they believe in God if no one has told them about Him? And how will anyone tell them about Him unless they're sent? Most Americans are completely lost today, beyond the reach of the church, blinded by Satan, believing evil is good, and yet desperate for God. How many people do you know that may be lost for eternity unless you tell them? Consider yourself sent. Get help sharing your faith at IgniteAmerica.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
We need to just say, Lord, I don't understand why these dark lines have come into my life, but I trust You because I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that You are good. See, I can come to a God like that, who loves me, who's gentle, who's humble in heart.
Learn the depth of God's goodness. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central. Here on American Family Radio.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free MoneyWise account by going to MoneyWise.org and click Sign Up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. In just a minute, we'll be taking your calls and questions on anything financial. The number to call with lines open, 800-525-7000. Coming up on the broadcast today, I'll tackle the idea of facing uncertain circumstances. Are you in a difficult spot right now? Well, what does God's Word say about that? And practically, how can we face uncertain circumstances with confidence? I'll weigh in on that today. Also, in our final segment of the broadcast today, Bob Dahl stops by for his weekly visit to update us on the markets. A strong day yesterday and again today in the markets following a pretty rough third quarter sell-off. We'll get Bob's take on the current state of the economy, the markets, what's going on internationally and domestically. What about inflation and earnings reports coming out? Bob will weigh in on all of it. That's later in the broadcast. And again, your questions as well, 800-525-7000. Before we go to the phones, though, really difficult situation going on in Florida. As you are well aware, I'm sure Hurricane Ian swept through South and Central Florida, leaving a staggering amount of damage in its wake. I know the death toll continues continues to rise, more than 2 million people without power, just a lot of folks facing at least temporary homelessness, and the rebuilding is going to take years. We want to give you an opportunity to know how you can help as God's people come together and say, we want to be a part of the solution, but we just don't know how. Well, we've got an answer for you. Joining me today is Stefan Chavijan. Stefan is president of the National Christian Foundation in South Florida. He's on the ground there. He's really tied into the Christian community there and has been involved in some of the efforts to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the midst of this difficult situation. Stefan, great to have you.
Rob, it is good to have be on and have your introduction. You forgot one very important fact, though, in the introduction of me.
All right. What? I think I know what's coming, but go ahead. Yeah.
You're my brother-in-law.
That's exactly right.
I'm honored to be on. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. And Stefan married my sister, Lisa, and so we are family. Yeah, and so it's a great opportunity. We don't get to do this very often. We maybe have done this a few times in the past, but always fun to have you on the program. Stefan, give us just a report. I know you've not actually been to the West Coast yet, but there's a lot of your team members that you're in touch with that have. What's your sense of the situation?
Yeah, well, thank you for bringing attention to this because, you know, and so often when these crises happen, you know, there's a lot of attention and then, you know, a few weeks go by and we move on to the next crisis. And yet the people that live on the southwest part of Florida continue to live with this tragic situation that's literally going to take years to recover. And we are part of the NCF South Florida office, are partnering with the other NCF offices across the country, helping various people know how to effectively give towards the needs. And so, we have a team over there. We're working with local churches and working with local ministries that are over there. We know people like Convoy of Hope and Samaritan's Purse and other large NGOs are already mobilizing. And so it's encouraging to see the response of the church in times like this. And we want to continue to see that happen.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Well, as you know, when situations like this take place, whether it's here domestically or abroad, often believers want to be a part of the solution. They just don't know how. You've been a part of many of these. What counsel would you give as to how someone should think about how they can be a part of the solution here and step in?
Yeah, it's such an important question because sometimes we get, you know, paralysis by analysis. There's so many options and so many situations, we become overwhelmed and then we do nothing. So I would just keep it real, real simple. I'd say, first and foremost, it's incredibly important to pray. And I know we simply say that as Christians, just pray, but I mean, be intentional about it. You know, put a note on your calendar every day to take a few minutes and be praying and pay special attention to the needs that are often seen on the news or you hear about. The second thing I would say is if you're part of a church that's engaged in some type of relief work, support your local church, which is very important. And that's actually happening a lot here in the southeast and southwest and central Florida because of our proximity. But if you're a listener and you're somewhere else and you're going, you know, my church isn't really involved other than we're aware of it, then I would also say there's some incredible organizations, again, as I mentioned, like Samaritan's Purse, Convoy of Help, Hope, that are very effective. They're experts in this type of crisis work, and they go there for the long term. Certainly support them. But also, we have mobilized a fund at the National Christian Foundation. You can just go to ncfgiving.com/Ian, and that is a fund where you can contribute to that account, and 100% of those funds go towards relief efforts in the Southwest Florida. And we're being very specific at this point where we're heavily weighting the giving towards caring for pastors and Christian leaders in that area. We have found that what happens is once the attention leaves, these leaders, these pastors who not only have been hit themselves, but also are heavily involved in outreach, they get weary, they get tired, their families need relief. So we are looking for the needs and opportunities to come alongside for not just a few weeks, but literally months, if not possibly years, to help them provide counseling, provide them relief, help their physical needs, care for their children, because we need our leaders to stay in the area, and we need those leaders to be the hands and feet of Christ.
Yeah. And that's such an important and effective approach, Stefan. I know you've been involved there in bringing churches together in South Florida for a long time to work collaboratively. I know that's been really a key part of Samaritan's Purse's ministry, is, and that is to go into one of these devastated areas, but not just to drop in and provide relief and leave, but to work through the local church, because they're going to be there long after others are gone, right?
Exactly, and that is just an incredible strategy. You don't just see it happening here in the United States, but you see it an effective strategy around the world, is that you work through the local church. And the beautiful thing is, you look at church history, you know, it is at the times of great suffering and hopelessness that the church rises up, and the proverbial running towards the storm, running towards the fire while everybody else is running away. And this is a time for us to shine as Christians. And there are many, many people that are hopeless. Just as I listened to your earlier segment, I can only imagine where people have literally lost some of the things that they thought were precious, their home, their cars, their various possessions, gone away, literally floated away. And now they're looking at it going, now what? Well, what a great opportunity for us to be, not only share the gospel with words, but do it with our deeds.
No doubt about that. Stefan, again, give us the specific call to action. Where can folks go if they want to be a part of helping to support this effort financially?
Yeah, as I mentioned, we have a fund at the National Christian Foundation called, you just go to ncfgiving.com/EN. So again, ncfgiving.com/EN, and there it's pretty clear on how you're able to get involved and contribute.
Great. And you can make a one-time donation, or you can open a donor-advised fund there, which we've got just about 30 seconds left. But Stefan, a really powerful giving tool for folks if they don't have one, right?
Oh, very powerful. And it is encouraging to see how many Christians use that tool, and they're incredibly generous. It's one of the ways we show our love of Christ.
I love it. Well, Stefan, thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it. Always fun to be on with a fellow family member. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. You too, buddy. ncfgiving.com/Ian is the place to go to give right now. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Stick around.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep. This is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Siri, open my food delivery app.
Before you order in again, are you sure that's in your budget?
What budget?
Exactly. You need the free MoneyWise app. With its electronic envelope budgeting system, you'll know exactly where every dollar is going, and you can finally stay on top of your money.
I guess that does sound like a pretty good idea. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay. Searching for MoneyWise in the App Store. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Sound Mind Investing helps Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors who are just getting started, those making investment choices for a company retirement plan or college savings account, and people getting close to their retirement years. SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information is at soundmindinvesting.org. The website also features many articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Hey, let's head to the phones. We'll begin in Huntsville, Alabama. Jan, you're our first caller today. Go right ahead.
Good morning. I invested some money at one time in inflation-protected securities. And it was, to me, a pretty significant amount. And it's down, actually, there's two of them, and they're down like $15,000. I'm 73, and I'm just wondering, am I doing the right thing? I'm still drawing a good amount, dividends because of that, but I just wondered how I should be looking at that. I probably shouldn't have done that.
Well, you look at these TIPS, these Treasury Inflation Protected Securities, and you might go into them thinking, well, especially in an inflationary environment like we're in right now, when inflation's running 8% plus, these things should do pretty well. The challenge is that's not necessarily the case in terms of the price of the investment. The TIPS returns are in the red this year because as the price declines have offset the inflation adjustment to the TIPS principal values. So while they've outperformed treasuries, they're still down sharply this year, which again is a head scratcher for a lot of folks. The total return of the TIPS, though, over a specific period of time is about the income payments alongside the price change and, thirdly, the inflation adjustment to the principal value. The challenge is in this environment where rates are rising, we're seeing declines in the actual price of the TIPS. And so it does get a bit complicated. So I guess the question is, what should you do right now? And I think that, you know, the idea behind the TIPS is they can protect a portfolio from inflation over the long run, even though in the short run, price fluctuations will likely be the key driver of performance. And so if you're holding to maturity, you don't really care about the price fluctuations as long as you've got the yield that you're looking for. I think the question is, even though these are a good investment, you know, to offset inflation, are you properly diversified and are you too highly concentrated in this one investment? Jan, how much, if you don't mind me asking, do you have in the way of investable assets?
How much do I have? About. I'm not sure how much it is now. It's way down.
Okay.
Maybe 800,000.
Yeah. Okay. So 800,000 or so. So a significant amount of money.
Yeah.
And how much of that is in the TIPS versus other types of investments?
It's about 16%. About 90,000.
Okay, 90,000 in the TIPS. And then what would you say, just at a high level, is the makeup of the rest of that portfolio? Stocks, bonds, what types of investments?
It's diversified.
Okay,
stocks,
very
and bonds.
Good. Yeah,
so
excellent.
Mostly stocks and mutual funds.
Great. And are you managing this yourself, Jan, making the investment selections, or do you have somebody doing this for you?
Me.
Okay.
I'm making the decision.
Okay. And are you comfortable with that, or, you know, are you interested in having somebody help you make that decision?
No, I'm comfortable with it.
Okay, very good. Yeah, so I think just based on the amount that you have, you know, having roughly 90,000 in the tips is not a problem at all. I mean, it, you know, given that inflation is probably not going anywhere right now, you're just seeing some pressure on the price of these securities just because of what's going on with interest rates, and the secondary market is driving the prices down. But again, if you're going to be a long-term investor holding these over the long haul, I think this is a worthwhile portion of your portfolio, and it sounds like it's about the right allocation. So I don't think you've made a mistake here at all, Jan, and I would just hang on to these. You've probably experienced most of the downside that you are going to experience, and the yield will make up for that over time. So I would hang tight with what you have, at least with that portion of the portfolio.
Okay, well, that sounds great. I was just concerned because of my age, I guess, and if I wasn't expecting it that big drop on that. I thought it would be a lot less, you know.
Yes.
So it sort of shocked me.
I can understand that. Yeah, a lot of folks, especially in, you know, what we're hearing about the I bonds and we're hearing about inflation, we think, well, this should be the perfect time to own the tips. And yet we don't realize that there's multiple components here that make up the price of that security. Only one of those factors being the inflation protection component. And you've been seeing some erosion in the value or the price of that bond over this last year. So, but I would hold tight. Don't lose heart. I'd keep a long-term perspective. As long as you've got the right mix of investments, you're not too aggressive with the rest of your portfolio, you've got the income being generated that you need, I would say you've got quite a bit that you've accumulated, and this is probably a good time just to stay focused on the longer term. If the Lord tarries and you're in good health, I suspect you're going to need this money to last a long, long time. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate you checking in with us. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Hey, we'll be going back to the phones after a quick break. Before we do, though, let me tackle an email. We receive emails from our listeners all the time, and this one came to us from Abraham. He wrote to us at questions@moneywise.org. He writes, "Is it bad on your credit to lower your limit for credit cards? I went through bankruptcy a few years ago." Abraham, I would say in terms of the effect on your credit score for lowering your limit, if you're carrying a balance, it will work against you. And here's why. The primary driver of your credit score is something called credit utilization. Now, it's only one of five criteria, but it is the biggest. And what's going to happen is if you're carrying a balance and you lower that limit, your balance is now a higher percentage of the limit, which drives up your credit utilization. If that gets up over 30%, that's really going to start to pull your score down. Here's the thing, especially given your bankruptcy, let's really focus on getting these paid off and only use them for budgeted items. And if you can't or don't, I'd cut them up. Abraham, I hope that helps. Thanks for writing to us today. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. We'll be right back with more of your questions after this.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Let's not only buy the truth, let's be the truth. Let's tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Let's stand against the things that are false by standing up for the things that are true. Let's stop posturing and actually be the people we want people to think we are.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, The World of the End, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
At MoneyWise, we are on a mission
to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from MoneyWise and believe in this mission, would you consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron? Check out all the benefits of a MoneyWise patron's membership at MoneyWise.org and click Give on the homepage.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Hey, coming up in our next segment of the broadcast, Bob Dahl stops by to weigh in on the markets. A big up day yesterday. That strength and positive momentum continues today as stocks rise, as investors build on yesterday's rally, up over 700 points on the Dow, 100 on the S&P, and 350 on the NASDAQ. That's got the NASDAQ up 3%. It's a welcomed green day following the big sell-off that we've seen over the last several weeks. Bob will weigh in on what's pushing this market higher today and what we might expect around the corner. All right, back to the phones we go. Monty, you're in, I see, Culpeper, Virginia. Thanks for calling, sir. Go right ahead.
Rob, just to edify you, you are wonderful. Dan Celia had me call like you many times, and I don't mean to take other people's place, but no, I am 74, and I just can't bless you guys enough. With eight children, I have given away all my inheritance. I have now gone in debt over the house, the property, the vehicles, and the children have gotten $1.5 million in money that my wife was so wonderfully able to get from people to donate for their education. But my question, Rob, is now my oldest son, who does very well in California with patents, I think he makes between $400,000 and $600,000 a year. But should I feel guilty about him wanting to replace my car? And I want people to understand that children do cost about $200,000 from birth until 18. And when they live at your house, like Rob said, they need to take responsibility. But Rob, is it wrong for me to feel guilty about my son wanting to either help me replace a car or do things that, you know, when you have a giving soul, sometimes you give too much and don't realize you don't have anything left over. Yes. And you still have bills.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, Monty, you covered a lot of ground there. First of all, thank you for your kind remarks. It's a privilege to be able to serve the listeners of American Family Radio each day with biblical wisdom around finance. And I was a big fan of Dan as well, and grateful to be able to bring this show to American Family Radio to step into that huge void that was left with his passing. Monty, obviously you have an incredible giving heart. Give me a sense of what you've done here. So you've distributed all of your assets basically to your kids at this point. Is that right?
Well, without going too far into the wife and I began to put our children first in the, you know, the schooling, the education. We forgot that paying a mortgage down does not mean use credit cards to pay for something else you couldn't afford.
Sure.
And the house was falling apart, but people in Culpeper, this house is being valued now at $550,000 to put a Wawa's on it. And I don't actually want to sell it now because I don't think I'll get enough money left over after paying all the bills to even go somewhere to live.
Yeah.
So my concern and question is, it's hard for me to receive other people's kindness. My son keeps wanting to buy this and pay for this as well. That's not your responsibility, son. It's my responsibility. But
sure.
It's hard to give up your, you know, 401k and give up all your inheritance and not having paid your house off. And we just unfortunately made all the mistakes that young couples make. You start looking out for your children and family and realizing that that house could have been paid off in 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's no question about it. And to your point, I think you said $200,000. The latest study I've seen is that it's more than $300,000 to cover the costs of a child through age 18. Children are a blessing. That's not to discourage anyone. I've got four of them and grateful to the Lord every day for the gift that they are to our family. But yeah, it is expensive and we have to be careful because there are other ways to pay for college. There are other ways to fund some of these expenses. And there is not another way to pay for retirement, which is why we need to be givers. We also need to be diligent savers. We need to limit our lifestyle, and we need to live with a plan. And that includes a lot of these extracurricular and child-related expenses. So, no, I don't think you should feel guilty at all, Monty. What a blessing that you've got a son that's doing so well, that has a generous heart, that wants to honor his dad in this season of life. I think it is something we have to work on, depending on kind of how God has wired us. For some of us, it's a little more challenging to be on the receiving end of generosity. And yet, I think just like we need to accept the free gift of eternal life that we can't earn, we need to be willing to accept gifts given to us by others that do it out of a desire to bless those that they love or want to serve. And that sounds like that's the case here. It's certainly doesn't sound like it's going to put your son in any kind of financial hardship. And so I think the opportunity to have him step in here, given the fact that you say, listen, perhaps we would have done some things different, others we wouldn't have because we loved what we were doing. And yet I find myself in a season of life where I'm perhaps, you know, house rich and cash poor, and you know, I've got some expenses beyond my needs, and he's wanting to step in here. I think you shouldn't feel guilty at all about that. I think the question, though, is okay, going forward, what is the plan both for your income and expenses so that you can cover your obligations, and then longer term, just positioning yourself so you've got the ability, you know, to cover your needs well into the future? Do you feel like apart from this assistance he may provide in this spot you're in right now, you've got the ability to cover your lifestyle moving forward?
Rob, without taking too much more time on the phone, I am concerned that when someone invests in their kindness to you, you know, again, it was our responsibility to take care of the children, the house, and the mortgage and so forth. But I just want to say to you that people are so blessed when they listen to your program that if high schools would teach kids a five-year plan when they leave high school, whether they go to college or not, if they would take that five-year plan and look at where they want to be financially, socially, emotionally, and especially spiritually. And your class, it's not a class, but it is a class on this radio station. We are just so blessed. I've had thousands of hours of college classes. I have to attend them, not on a, you know, like on a computer screen. But just think what you offer every day, free information that will set those young people for life on the right path.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you, Monty. And I couldn't agree more, not necessarily my wisdom, but the wisdom from God's word, so that our kids are leaving our home as adults ready not only with financial literacy, understanding the dangers of debt and compound interest and how to put a spending plan together and the reason they need to give and save and invest, but also understanding God's heart as it relates to their money, that God owns it all and we're stewards and we should live within his provision, and that giving breaks the power of money, and all of these things that we see in God's word as well. So I couldn't agree more about your thoughts there related to preparing our kids. Well, Monty, listen, all the best to you. No, I think you should receive with a grateful heart, be grateful that God has put your son in a position that he's able to help his dad. And I think moving forward, you know, doing some planning, making some hard decisions, perhaps being willing to downsize at the right time, and, you know, putting a spending plan together that's going to work for you for the long term is probably the most important thing you can do right now beyond being grateful for what your son has provided. Thanks for calling in today and for your very kind remarks, my friend. May God bless you. Well, folks, we're going to hit another break here in just a moment. When we come back, we've got several questions waiting that we'll get to, and Bob Dahl will be stopping by to weigh in on the markets. What's going on in the U.S. markets today? Well, it's green across the board, and that's a good thing given the pressure that the market has been under as of late. What's driving that positive momentum, especially given the recent sell-off that we experienced? And a new jobs report out today. We'll get Bob's thoughts on that and much more just around the corner. This is MoneyWise Live on American Family Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Once upon a time, we all know the fairy tale beginning, but sometimes things don't go well in such a story. There's always some sort of problem to overcome. The Book of Ruth makes the problem clear from the start. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The days of the judges were a time of compromise and sin, Israel disobeying God, and this family abandoned the promised land. They left their inheritance in the rearview mirror, but the Lord kept his promises, and through their sinful choices, he brought Ruth into his kingdom. Get started with Anchor Devotional today. Visit GetAnchor.com.
45,000. That's how many times MoneyWise referred a listener to a Certified Kingdom Advisor, or CKA, last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to moneywise.org and clicking the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Sound Mind Investing offers investing guidance grounded in the stewardship principles found in Scripture. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire knowledge and confidence related to investing and overall money management. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Before we go back to your calls, it's Tuesday. Bob Dahl normally joins us on Monday, but we're grateful to have him stop by early in the week. And Bob, after a big third quarter sell-off, a lot of positive momentum yesterday, and seems like that continues today, green across the board. This market can't make up its mind, can it?
No, it can't. Bear market rallies are vicious. People will remember this territory from mid-June to mid-August. The S&P 500 was up 15%, NASDAQ was up 20%, and then it gave it all back. At some point, it'll be the low, Rob, and we'll go back up and solve all our problems. I'm not convinced we've solved all our problems, but also this rally, I do not believe, is over. It has a little momentum associated with it, so it could go on. We got way oversold. And from a valuation standpoint, we got down to 15 times earnings at Friday's close last week, which is lower than we've been in quite a few years.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Bob, in terms of economic data, a jobs report out today. What do you make of that information?
So I think it's, we have the caveat, we never put all our eggs in one basket on one number, but this is consistent with the trend that we've seen of late. Or I might put it in the context of economic data is mixed. We get one good number and then we get a bad number because the economy is slowing. And of course, some people have us in a recession. We're not there yet, but we're certainly not recovering. So one in a long string of confusing data points.
Yeah, no question about it. Bob, what about earnings? Obviously, that's going to be really the next indicator as to what's really going on in the economy right now as we see how corporate profits are looking. Are we beginning to get some data, and what's your observations on what we've seen so far?
We've had some big visible companies cite weakness and forewarn that profits wouldn't be good. I suspect here in the early days of the fourth quarter, we will see some more companies confessing that they're not going to make it. And we'll watch the source of that. The strength of the U.S. dollar alone creates headwinds for the multinationals. You add to that the slowing economy. Earnings estimates, as we've talked before, Rob, for the first half of the year went up, and since then have been holding kind of steady for the last 30 days. Now they're starting to drop some. My guess is they're going to fall some more, given the variables we just cited.
Yeah, very good. And then, Bob, finally, it seems like we can't do one of these segments without talking about the Federal Reserve. The all eyes continue to be there. And I guess the big question, especially given some of the pressure that's been coming from overseas directed at the U.S. Federal Reserve, is whether or not they're going to see enough indication of a turn on inflation to back off the gas pedal with regard to interest rates, right?
That is the $64,000 question, as they say. Part of the rally of the last 2 days, or yesterday and this morning, Rob, is the feeling that maybe the Fed is closer to done. Coincidentally, this is exactly what sparked the rally in mid-June. Yeah. And while inflation is coming down, and we are of the view that by the end of the year it'll be running 4-5%, not 8-9%. But that's not two. And so the big question for the Fed, and therefore for investors, is when we get to 4 or 5, are they going to be content and let it go for a while? Or are they going to insist on 2? If they insist on 2, we'll be in a recession. If they live with 4 or 5, we may be okay for a while, Rob.
Interesting. All right, Bob, last question. I know there at Crossmark, you all are around looking at the opportunity to allow values to intersect with investments. You know, for Christians that are listening right now that are perhaps learning about this idea for the first time, that their values can be incorporated into their investments, what would you have them to know about this really exciting and growing segment of the investment landscape?
Yeah, you pointed out, education is the first principle. I say there's so many Christians I know who spend a lot of time figuring out how they're going to honestly make a living and then how they're going to spend their money, how they're going to give their money. But this in-between investment piece, a lot of Christians have given no thought to. Why wouldn't we want to align all of our lives with our values? And that includes investments. So that's the question I would have people ponder. Where am I invested? What does that look like? And does it line up with my values and my principles, so that I have a portfolio that's not only good for this life, but also good for the next life, if you will.
I love it. Well, Bob, well said. We appreciate you stopping by, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great.
All right. Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, where investments and values intersect. You can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com. All right. Back to the phones here in our final moments of the broadcast today. We're going to head to Grand Rapids. Carol, you're next on the program. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I had a question about gold and silver. I noticed that it's not mentioned much. I'm talking about physical gold and silver. I bought a bunch a while back when I was hearing that the economy was going to crash, and I just wondered what you thought about it, if it's something I should get rid of some of it and invest in something else, or if I should just keep it all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm a fan of the precious metals as a part of a properly diversified portfolio. So for me, a 5% allocation to the precious metals, and that most often for means for folks gold, but doesn't have to, is right. Certainly no more than 10%. The reason being that it, number one, it just tends to be more volatile and it has less long-term performance than a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. They also have the precious metals have no cash value, so you receive no income. And then you also have the storage costs as well as the kind of markup from the dealer typically on the buy and the sell. So for those reasons, I like the fact that it's a way to diversify your portfolio. It is, in fact, tends to be a hedge against inflation. It's kind of a fear trade. It tends to rise in times of uncertainty and when there's geopolitical issues and a whole host of other things. But given the reasons that I said, I wouldn't overweight in gold and precious metals, which is what we hear a lot of folks encouraging investors to do in times of uncertainty. Just because, again, when you're looking long term at your portfolio, it just doesn't tend to perform as well when you look at these longer periods of time. So how should you proceed? Well, I guess the first question, Carol, is what percent of your investable assets do you hold in these precious metals right now?
Everything. Okay. Right now.
And what is that? How much is it worth, roughly?
It's only maybe $30,000, something like that.
Okay. And then are you continuing to save? Are you able to put something aside every month out of your cash flow?
I can put a little bit aside, only around, maybe $20 at most a week because I have some health problems.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's not much, but it's something.
Yeah. Okay. And you own physical gold, isn't that right?
Yeah, and silver, yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so I think if you have a conviction around that, you certainly could hang on to that and then just begin to diversify away from the precious metals as you build up other investable assets. I think the reason that I would perhaps look to start, unloading this gold is just because, like I say, you're going to tend to see over the long haul much better performance, in other areas. For instance, if you just take the period, a 30-year period from 1990 to 2020, the price of gold increased by about 360%, but over the same period, the Dow Jones was up nearly 1,000%, 991%. And so, I think if we look at these longer term historical charts, we're going to see that the long term performance is just not quite as good. So I think from that reason and, because you're lacking diversity, which we see in Ecclesiastes, that we should, put our things in 7 or even 8 because we don't know what misfortune may occur. Your whole investable portfolio is tied to one particular asset class. And I'd love to see you spread over multiple asset classes. So where do you go from here? Well, I think I wouldn't do anything kind of in one fell swoop. I would maybe systematically begin selling off the gold and then beginning to invest that into a diversified portfolio. The good news about the stock market right now is you'd be buying in as you perhaps transition from the precious metals into stocks, you'd be buying in at these really depressed levels, which would allow you to buy more shares with the same investment and then take advantage of the recovery when that occurs, which certainly could be well into next year. So I'd perhaps go slow, but this might be a good time for you to begin diversifying away from the precious metals. I hope that helps you, Carol. We appreciate your call today very much. Let's see. Let's head to Austin, Texas. Brenda, you'll be our final caller today. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a quick question. What are options for getting taking just cash out or away from doing business with the 5 major banks? We have done business with one of them for, our whole married life. And I'm just wondering, what are options then if you don't use those banks?
Yeah. So is it just those particular big 5 or the banking system in general that you're trying to get away from?
No, the big 5.
Okay.
Actually.
Yeah. So, the other options would be a credit union would be a great option. A lot of folks love working with a local credit union just because, they tend to pay higher rates, have lower fees, and they still have the brick and mortar locations that you can walk into if that's important. Another option would be some of the online banks like Ally Bank or Marcus or Capital One 360, low or no fees and phenomenal interest rates. So I think either of those could be great. A resource to look at would be nerdwallet.com or bankrate.com to be able to explore the various banking options and the ratings that go along with them. Hopefully that helps you, Brenda. Thanks for your call today. Folks, that's going to do it for us today. We are out of time. Thank you to Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, and Robert Sutherland. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. Hope you have a great rest of your day. And remember, if you want to support the folks devastated by Hurricane Ian, go to ncfgiving.com/Ian. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.